Dr. Arthur Perry, he's one of the top plastic surgeons. He's got offices in Manhattan, New Jersey. You know, and he's been doing a show here on WOR for years and years and years. Very popular show and a great plastic surgeon. Everybody has questions on this subject, so he's the guy to ask. Dr. Arthur Perry.
No, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
And I went to his office, and I said, look at my face. He goes, yeah, look at your face. What can I do with your face? What can you do with his face? I go like that. I swear to God. I go, look at this. I'm getting old. I said, I want to maybe you could fix it up a little bit.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry, the best in plastic surgery.
Remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. I hope you're all having a wonderful weekend in isolation still, right? Hopefully you are. But certainly it's a beautiful day out there today in New York, in New Jersey, in Connecticut. And I hope you're enjoying yourselves. Well, this is the show about you. The show about what you look like, the show about your wrinkles and your jowls, and maybe small breasts or sagging breasts or fat around your hips. That's what this is about. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, host of What's Your Wrinkle for many years, along with my sidekick Noah sitting in the studio. I'm socially distancing in New Jersey today. But we're here to take your phone calls, and the phone number is 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710. We are giving away bottles of Daytime to callers today. What is Daytime? Well, I hope you know what it is. It's an SPF 20 sunscreen. It's a skin protector. It's got all sorts of good things for your skin. And we're giving away bottles today to callers with good questions for me. You have to have a good question. You can't just call in and say, send me the Daytime. Well, Daytime is exactly what you need right now because it will help protect you from the ultraviolet rays of the sun, the ones that cause skin aging, the ones that cause skin cancer, UVA and UVB, because it's got zinc oxide in it, which is a broad-spectrum sunscreen. And in my opinion, it is the best, the single best sunscreen out there. And that's the one I would recommend you use. Of course, I put it in my product, so why would I not recommend it? We're giving away bottles of Daytime today to callers. So give me a call and ask me the questions that have been keeping you up at night. Maybe the ones about lasers or the ones about blepharoplasty. That's an eyelid lift or facelifts or breast implants. That's what we talk about on the show. We've got a lot scheduled for you. I've got Dr. Robert Grant on this evening. He's going to talk about the COVID epidemic and what it's done to plastic surgery and how we're seeing patients. He's the chief of plastic surgery at Cornell and Columbia, so he'll be coming on later in the show. And we're going to talk, I always talk about masks, don't I? Well, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to continue our discussion from last week about the great procedures that you can do this time of year and this time of year with a mask on. And it is interesting. My patients are, they're catching on. I had patients this week that came in and said, you know, go to town. You know, I've got half my face covered with a mask. I can go right about my business. Right after the procedure. So whether there's bruising or even a rhinoplasty, well, you know, it doesn't matter. You've got a mask on now. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about henna. Henna. I haven't talked about henna. It's the temporary tattoos. Do you think it's safe? Do you think it's uniformly safe? So many people get it. Well, we're going to talk about that. That's a hint of things to come. But of course, we're going to take your phone calls. 800-321-0710 is the phone number right here at WOR. And I hope that you're having a safe time during this pandemic, which, you know, who would have expected in March that we'd be sitting here in August still socially distancing, still worrying about getting the coronavirus? My goodness, I never would have believed that. But I think just a series of missteps by our elected leaders, what can I tell you? And I think... Well, they need to do a little bit better job. Well, Noah, we are going to take an early break. That was our little hint for the show. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? The phone number, 800-321-0710. We're going to be back with the show after these words. Did you know that most skincare is useless, even fraudulent, and often toxic? I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. I needed great skincare for my patients, but really could not find products that dramatically improve skin health. So I went to the books, and I created a line of skincare that reduces the appearance of wrinkles and truly rejuvenates skin. I want everyone to try my products, and so for a limited time, I'm offering my complete skincare regimen at half price. Normally, this is $150, but for WOR listeners, it's $75 plus shipping. One product in the morning and one in the evening, moisturize and clean. That's all you need for beautiful skin. It's so simple that soon your friends and relatives will be asking, "What are you doing to look so good?" Go to drperrys.com, that's drperrys.com, or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WOR20 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening, 6 p.m., right here on WOR. Ladies, are you looking older than you feel? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Aging is inevitable, but I can help you age gracefully. I start with Juvederm and fill wrinkles, and I restore lips to what they used to look like. No duck lips here. And I creatively smooth the jawline and plump marionette lines. You might benefit from chemical peels or lasers to reduce splotchiness and rejuvenate your skin, or Althera to thicken your crepey skin. And for the most dramatic rejuvenation, I perform short scarf face and neck lifts. Let's sit down for an hour consultation and come up with a plan to help you look better. My offices are in Somerset, New Jersey, and on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. Give me a call at 732-422-9600. That's 732-422-9600. Check me out on the web at perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
We are back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. The phone number, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. So now, if you are sitting at home, socially distancing, staying inside most of the time, wearing a mask, do you think you have much of a chance of getting the virus? I don't think so. And I think that our elected officials that are honest with you will tell you that. And hopefully most people are still doing that. When you do go out, you're wearing either an N95 mask, if you can get your hands on one, or you're wearing a tight-fitting surgical mask. If you absolutely can't do that, then those cloth masks are better than nothing. But certainly that's still very, very important. And those of you who are saying, you know, this is government manipulation, why would we want to wear a mask? Boy, I'll tell you something. You are wrong, unfortunately. All the scientific evidence is in the favor of wearing those masks, so please do it. I was in Manhattan today, and most people are wearing masks now. I think it's actually better now than it was a couple months ago in Manhattan, and I thank everybody. You know, New York, we're doing a better job than the rest of the country. We really are. So that is very, very good. All right, we won't take the whole show and talk about that. Let's talk about cosmetic surgery. Let's talk about the things that are really good to do right now if you are covering your face up with a mask. Last week we talked about filler, and I've got a lot of patients that are coming in. They're overdue for their filler because they waited, you know, the months that we were closed, and they're back in action getting filler now because filler does cause bruising. It really does. And when you have a mask on, wow, you can go right about your business the very next day or even that day because no one is going to be seeing your bruising. So that's very nice. And also laser procedures. Now, one of the great procedures for wrinkles around the lips, wrinkles around the mouth, is either the laser procedure, a CO2 laser, or dermabrasion. We're still doing dermabrasions. You know, dermabrasions are—they really are wonderful procedures. They kind of went out of favor several years ago because we replaced the dermabrasion with the CO2 laser. However, they're very effective, dermabrasion and the CO2 laser, both for these wrinkles around the lips. The problem with both of those procedures, however, is that there's a long downtime, and people shy away from procedures with a long downtime. And, you know, when I do both of those procedures, they leave you with a wound. And not so much fun, right? You have to cover the wound with bacitracin. You stay in your house for months. But you know, certainly after the recovery, you look great. So we are doing a lot of procedures like that now, dermabrasions and lasers. Noah, for technical reasons, we're going to take another very quick break. And when we come back from our break, we're going to have Dr. Robert Grant on the line. Noah, we'll be back after these words. 800-321-0710 is the phone number. You know that most skincare is useless, even fraudulent and often toxic? I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. I needed great skincare for my patients, but really could not find products that dramatically improve skin health. So I went to the books and I created a line of skincare that reduces the appearance of wrinkles and truly rejuvenates skin. I want everyone to try my products, and so for a limited time, I'm offering my complete skincare regimen at half price. Normally this is $150, but for WOR listeners, it's $75 plus shipping. One product in the morning and one in the evening, moisturize and clean. That's all you need for beautiful skin. It's so simple that soon your friends and relatives will be asking, "What are you doing to look so good?" Go to drperrys.com, that's drperrys.com, or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WOR20 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening, 6 p.m., right here on WOR. Ladies, are you looking older than you feel? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Aging is inevitable, but I can help you age gracefully. I start with Juvederm and fill wrinkles, and I restore lips to what they used to look like. No duck lips here. And I creatively smooth the jawline and plump marionette lines. You might benefit from chemical peels or lasers to reduce splotchiness and rejuvenate your skin, or Althera to thicken your crepey skin. And for the most dramatic rejuvenation, I perform short scarf face and neck lifts. Let's sit down for an hour consultation and come up with a plan to help you look better. My offices are in Somerset, New Jersey, and on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. Give me a call at 732-422-9600. That's 732-422-9600. Check me out on the web at perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's Your Wrinkle?
This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. The phone number, 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710. So how many of you have seen those henna tattoos? Do you know what those are? They're the temporary tattoos. They're very common in India and other countries. A little less common in the United States, but they're here. And I've seen plenty of patients with those. And I've looked at those, and I think certainly that's preferable to a permanent tattoo because they eventually wear off. And I've often thought, you know, how safe are these things, though? Because, you know, we're putting this chemical under our skin, in our skin, and it gets absorbed. So, you know, I looked at the literature, and it turns out, you know, they're not quite as safe as you might have imagined. In henna tattoos, well, first of all, there are different types. So there are the reddish ones, and then there are the black ones. Now, the reddish ones, well, they're actually pretty safe. They're pretty safe. There's some rare chances of getting an allergic reaction. It's pretty rare. But for the most part, they're safe. The ones that apparently are not uniformly safe are the black tattoos, these black henna tattoos, and about 2.5% of people are allergic to them. And, you know, you don't know this until you get it, and usually you don't know it the first time, but then you get the second tattoo and you get itching and severe itching that lasts a long, long time, because remember, these tattoos last many, many months. So the itching and the contact dermatitis, it's injected in you. It's as if you were allergic to poison ivy and decided to have the poison ivy injected under your skin. My goodness, that would itch for a long time, and that's what happens with these henna tattoos. So if you're allergic to those, well, that's not so good. And each time you get it, it gets worse. Now, the thing about the henna tattoos, the chemical in the black tattoo, you ready for this one? This is your... I would say it's a cocktail hour conversation, starter, but there aren't any more cocktail hours, right? Well, anyway, the chemical is called phenyldiamine, otherwise known as PPD, phenyldiamine. That's the chemical. It's in henna, and it's also in many, if not most, hair dyes, the ones that dye your hair black. So for women or for men, you get this chemical, phenylphenylediamine. A lot of hair dyes also contain lead. That's easy to figure out. That's bad for you. But phenylediamine, also quite bad for you. And not only does it cause allergic reactions, but it looks like it's a what's called a mutagen, which is a potentially cancer-causing agent. So, you know, I look at these things, and we humans do a lot of funny things to ourselves. We inject ourselves with things. We smoke, heaven forbid. We take chemicals in our body that are toxic. Well, here's another one to add to your list. It's not quite as safe as you would like. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon. On the line is Dr. Robert Grant. Dr. Grant is the chief of plastic surgery at Cornell and Columbia, two medical schools. He's a friend of mine for a long time. He's been on this show many times over the last 15, 16 years. Bob, how are you doing?
Fantastic, Arthur. Always good to be with you and your listeners.
Well, I want to thank you. Now, I like going to the world's experts for things, and here he is. Dr. Grant is truly one of the world's greatest plastic surgeons. I know he doesn't like it when I say that. He's a modest guy, but he truly is, and respected throughout the world. So, Bob, we're in this period now. We've gone 6 months almost where we've isolated ourselves socially. For a while, we weren't operating as plastic surgeons. What's happening now? Here it is August. What's happening at Cornell and Columbia at New York Presbyterian Hospital regarding plastic surgery and the COVID crisis?
Well, you know, Arthur, this is a great time to have, whether it's reconstructive or aesthetic plastic surgery in the New York area. We have the most experience with managing the safety issues around the virus. Our hospitals are at the leading forefront of making sure that our patients are safe, that our staff is safe, and we have capacity. So if you're thinking at all about moving forward with having something that needs to be done in the reconstructive arena or even an aesthetic procedure, as typically many patients want to do at the end of the summertime before the fall gets busy again, this is absolutely the time to speak with your board-certified plastic surgeon about it.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? I think about this, and what you're saying really strikes a chord with me as a plastic surgeon and my patients, because, you know, you'd think that here we are, we're in this pandemic, and people wouldn't want cosmetic surgery. But you're right, this is a great time because the hospitals are ready, the doctors are ready, and so many people are socially distancing, they're staying at home. So many of my patients are doing their exact job, their office job, from their phone at home. And I, you know what I tell them, Bob? If you've got to have a Zoom conference and you've had cosmetic surgery, put a little Vaseline on that camera. No one will ever know that you had surgery. Have you operated on patients now that have taken the opportunity to stay home afterwards but continue their jobs?
Well, it's very true what you say about a Zoom, Arthur. With all of us, quote unquote, on camera more than we ever before, people are really getting an opportunity to look at themselves, particularly above the head and neck, a lot more critically than they've done in the past. So we've seen many patients who are saying, geez, you know, I just don't look the way I feel on Zoom. So that's a perfect thing to talk about with your board-certified plastic surgeon. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And Bob has mentioned board certification several times, and it is critically important. I've talked about that in this show many times. How do you know if your plastic surgeon is certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery? You can check them out. You can check out the hospital that they're at, or you can go to the American Board of Plastic Surgery, and that's the real board. That's the one that certifies Bob Grant and myself as board-certified plastic surgeons. So it is very important. And there are lots of doctors that do cosmetic surgery that aren't board-certified plastic surgeons, aren't there, Bob?
You know, that's very true, Arthur, and there's lots of very well-qualified surgeons doing plastic surgery kind of procedures in what we call sister specialties. But for our specialty of plastic surgery, certified to be experts in both aesthetic and reconstructive surgery of all parts of the body, face, neck, breast, chest, abdomen, legs, all those areas, liposuction to microsurgery, a board-certified plastic surgeon, you know what you're getting. You know what their training has been. You know what their experience has been. And the board certification process is one which makes the peers, the other plastic surgeons, experts in that specialty, say that this person's training, background, and experience is up to the par, the level that we would all want for ourselves, our family members, and in general for the public. You know, we want safe, reliable, predictable outcomes and results always.
I'm speaking with Dr. Robert Grant. He is the chief of plastic surgery at Cornell and Columbia and New York Presbyterian Hospital. By the way, U.S. News and World Report, number 4, I think, in the country this past week, New York Presbyterian. Congratulations to you as a huge part of New York Presbyterian, by the way.
Well, it's just so exciting to be surrounded by people at the top of their game, whether it's our peer plastic surgeons like you. You're such a wonderful part of the division, Arthur. But, of course, amongst all the other top-notch specialists, whether it's the transplant surgeons, the cardiac surgeons, you know, the whole spectrum, medical specialists, pediatric specialists, you know, it's just – it really, really knows that for any problem, whether it's one that – you know, somewhere, someplace in the world, we have an expert on it. And that's why our rankings continue to increase every year, I think.
Absolutely. And as you know, Bob, I have no secrets here. I'm having a surgical procedure myself this week at Columbia. So it's just a hernia. But, you know, when it's a hernia, to me, it's a big deal. To someone else, it's just a hernia. But, of course, I chose a Columbia general surgeon. Bob, I wanted to talk to you for a moment about breast reconstruction now. You know, this is a topic that you know an incredible amount about, and the implants have been, you know, people have talked about the implants and the safety of implants for many, many years now. What's the update right now with breast reconstruction using implants, Bob?
So the breast reconstruction implants that we use are all of the ones that have smooth surfaces. So even when we do it in stages, when we first put the collapsed balloon in, the tissue expander that we then use to preserve the pocket where the breast was, and then do a second stage operation, subsequently taking that expander out and putting the silicone gel implant in, or in some circumstances we're able to put the silicone gel implant in, all of the surfaces now that we use are smooth. And the smooth implants, for patients who've never been exposed to texturing, have never been associated with that lymphoproliferative disorder. I know that's a very challenging word for people to say three times fast. But, you know, that condition which has been noted, which plastic surgeons have been at the forefront of wanting to advocate for their patients and make sure we learn all that we can about it. But the best news is we have implants now for patients that we can use for aesthetic patients also, that don't have the textured surface on them, which is the one that had been so looks to be so problematic.
Yeah, you know, it's still such a rare issue, and you know that, and I know that. But when people hear that, hey, an implant potentially could cause a lymphoma, boy, that scares people. It scares a lot of my patients, and a lot of my patients have asked me, well, should I take the implants out, the textured ones that they have in? What do you think about that?
The thing about the board-certified plastic surgeons who are reputable and who really care about their patients, like you and me, is that we follow our patients very closely. And this is a topic that we could spend hours talking about, but the short take-home message is, as long as you're seeing your plastic surgeon regularly, the plastic surgeon educates you about the signs or symptoms of any potential problems, gets appropriate imaging at the appropriate time after the implant has been placed, whether that's a high-resolution ultrasound or an imaging test like a MRI test, you can be reassured that the problem isn't going to be one in those rare circumstances when it happens, that it's going to be something that can't be treated very effectively with excellent survival and long-term outcomes.
You know, and that's so true. And when you hear these things, when the publications, the lay publications, newspapers and magazines talk about these things, they scare people, and they like to scare people because they know they'll watch the show, they'll read the articles. But the truth is, and you know this, plastic surgeons have been putting breast implants in since the early 1960s, and we don't know the exact number of implants out there, but it's in the many, many millions of implants over the last 60 or so years, many millions. And the number of these rare, rare cancers, what is it? It's still in the hundreds, right? It's not, I don't think it's reached 1,000 that, to my knowledge, is that correct?
Well, as you say, we're still learning more about it. The exact number doesn't matter if you're the particular patient who ends up with the condition. So we all educate our patients. We all want them to have all the information. We're very transparent about it. We're not hiding any facts or making patients subject to any increased risk. The ones I personally have the most feeling for are the ladies who had the prophylactic mastectomies, who had breast reconstruction with textured implants when we were using them in order to avoid having a cancer. And here it turns out that we put them perhaps at a slightly increased risk for this lymphoma kind of problem. So we care for our patients. We want to do right by them. We've all spoken with our patients who have textured implants. I know we've all reached out with letters and phone calls and electronic text messages and emails to the patients who have them to reassure them, to let them know we're here for them. And for those patients who need implants moving forward, we have this generation of implants, which does a phenomenal job in concert with the results that our breast cancer surgeons give us for really doing fantastic breast reconstruction work nowadays.
And that is the word of the expert, Dr. Robert Grant, Chief of Plastic Surgery at Cornell and Columbia. Dr. Grant, what is your phone number over there if a patient does want to get a hold of you and see you for breast reconstruction or any other procedure? What's your number over at Columbia?
212-305-3103.
Let's say it again,
212-305-3103.
And the website for Columbia, for the Division of Plastic Surgery, is what?
It is www.columbiaplastics.org.
And I want to thank you. I know I've imposed on you many Saturday evenings, and thank you so much for taking time on your Saturday, Bob. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I hope that we're out of this COVID situation soon, and we can stop the Zoom phone calls and conferences and get back to the live conferences at Columbia and Cornell. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. I wish you and all your listeners well, and particularly you this week. I know you're going to do great. All the best.
Ay, ay, ay. Thank you, Bob. Take care. All right. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. The phone number, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back after these words. Do you know that most skincare is useless, even fraudulent, and often toxic? I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. I needed great skincare for my patients, but really could not find products that dramatically improve skin health. So I went to the books, and I created a line of skincare that reduces the appearance of wrinkles and truly rejuvenates skin. I want everyone to try my products, and so for a limited time, I'm offering my complete skincare regimen at half price. Normally, this is $150, but for WOR listeners, it's $75 plus shipping. One product in the morning and one in the evening, moisturize and clean. That's all you need for beautiful skin. It's so simple that soon your friends and relatives will be asking, "What are you doing to look so good?" Go to drperrys.com, that's drperrys.com, or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WOR20 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening, 6 p.m., right here on WOR. Ladies, are you looking older than you feel? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Aging is inevitable, but I can help you age gracefully. I start with Juvederm and fill wrinkles, and I restore lips to what they used to look like. No duck lips here. And I creatively smooth the jawline and plump marionette lines. You might benefit from chemical peels or lasers to reduce splotchiness and rejuvenate your skin, or Althera to thicken your crepey skin. And for the most dramatic rejuvenation, I perform short scarf face and neck lifts. Let's sit down for an hour consultation and come up with a plan to help you look better. My offices are in Somerset, New Jersey, and on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. Give me a call at 732-422-9600. That's 732-422-9600. Check me out on the web at perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we're back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. 800-321-0710 is our phone number here in New York. Give us a call. It's a free call from all over the United States. And I know I have many listeners that are listening on the internet. I get calls from California and Arizona and Florida and South Carolina, all over the place. So do give us a call, 800-321-0710. So during the break, we had a phone call from a gentleman who didn't want to go on the air, but asked about preparation of the skin, how to decrease the chance of an infection with surgery. Well, that's quite poignant for me, going to have surgery this week, and poignant for you as patients. So, you know, there are a number of things that you can do to decrease your chance of getting an infection. And one of those is, people use the Hibi cleanse. Have you ever heard of Hibi cleanse? It is an antibiotic that's an antibiotic soap that you wash with. Well, it turns out that Hibi cleanse is okay to use. You buy that. It's in the blue bottle, plastic bottle. You get it over the counter in the drugstore. But I actually looked at the literature very carefully, and Hibi cleanse is valuable in decreasing the rate of infection by decreasing bacteria on your skin. But what's even better are those chlorhexidine cloths. So what are they? It is a cloth that's impregnated with something very similar to Hibi cleanse. Chlorhexidine is the antimicrobial. That's the technical term, right? It kills bacteria, it kills fungus, it might even kill virus, but certainly that's not an issue on the skin. But certainly bacteria, that is an issue before surgery. You want as few on your skin as possible. Everybody is populated. They're colonized with bacteria. Everybody has it. We live in a relationship with bacteria. In fact, interestingly, if you don't have bacteria on your skin, if you try to go germ-free, you do not actually heal as well. It's an interesting concept. We've evolved with bacteria, and bacteria are actually necessary for the healing process to be efficient. Interesting concept. But with surgery, we do not want a lot of bacteria on our skin, so we wash with either the Hibi cleanse or I prefer the chlorhexidine cloths. And the way you do that is the night before surgery, you take a shower, and after the shower, not during it, you coat your skin with the chlorhexidine cloths from your nose to your toes, not getting it in your mouth, not getting it in your vagina. So it's very important that you don't get that stuff on a mucous membrane. It's toxic, and you certainly don't get it in your eyes. So you coat it and leave it on your skin. It's a little tiny bit sticky, but that's okay. Go to sleep. Next morning, take another shower, do the same exact thing, and go into the operating room with that residue on your skin. And that was shown in a couple studies at Johns Hopkins. They did the study with hip replacement. They did the study with knee replacement. And they showed they were able to significantly decrease the infection rate when you use the chlorhexidine impregnated cloth. So that's what I advise. And also, you can use something called Bactroban. What is that? That's an antibiotic that goes in your nose, it goes in your ears, and it goes in your belly button. Those are the three places we advise our patients now to treat for 5 days before surgery, twice a day. So, of course, remember, when I give you this information, this is entertainment, this is information, but I'm not your doctor. So here's the disclaimer. Talk to your doctor if you're going to have surgery and make sure this is okay for you to do. I'm not telling you to do it. This is what I'm telling you I do with my patients, and there's a difference. So, and I would do it with myself also. So Bactroban is an antibiotic that we use in the nose, and because that's where the methicillin-resistant staph live. You might not know this. It's a secret amongst your bacteria, but that's where they live. They hide out there. So you want to use this stuff to knock out the supply so that when you have surgery, you don't have all this bacteria in your body. So those are the two things that I advise my patients to do prior to surgery. And if you are having surgery, you don't shave anymore. We don't shave hair because that actually increases the chance of infection. And those of you who shave, you know that sometimes you get those little pustules from shaving. You don't want that. That's the last thing you want prior to surgery. So those are the things that you can do to decrease the infection rate. The rest is up to the doctor. So antibiotics in the operating room, usually, depending on the surgical procedure, usually just one dose of antibiotics given intravenously through your vein at the time of surgery. It's in your body before the incision's made. And during the duration of the surgery, you should not, in my opinion, and in most doctors' opinion, require antibiotics after surgery, particularly for an extended period of time. We all know that all that does is you don't decrease the infection rate, but you do increase the chance of a bad bacteria, what's called a resistant bacteria, if you do get an infection. So most of us only give a dose of antibiotics at the time of surgery, and we don't have you on antibiotics for an extended time afterwards. We also know the things that are done in the operating room, there are things that can be done, rather, that can decrease the chance of infection. And one of those is keeping your oxygen levels pretty high during surgery. That sounds obvious to you, but we supplement with oxygen even when you're having sedation so that you don't have an increased infection rate. And we keep your body temperature warm. We don't let you cool. If you cool during the operation, and sometimes, by the way, your body temperature goes way down, particularly, let's say you're having a tummy tuck. That is an operation that exposes a lot of your body. And if we don't warm the room or use something called a bear hugger, that's something that keeps you warm, your body temperature could go down to 95 degrees, 94 degrees, even lower. So it is important. Now, I did a burn fellowship. Dr. Grant remembers that. He was my resident way back there in the 1980s. At Cornell. So I was at Cornell. I remember we kept the operating rooms above 90, and boy, people didn't like that. I got used to it, and I still operate in heat now. After you do that for a year, it's hard to go back to a cool operating room. So most surgeons don't like operating in the heat. I actually like it. It's better for you as a patient because then your body temperature stays high. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. And I believe we have Maria on the line. Maria, what can I do for you? What's your wrinkle?
Hi there, doctor.
What can I do for you?
I was calling about options for belly fat.
All right, Maria, how old are you?
66.
Okay, and have you had children?
Yes.
Okay. Then usually at age 66, how much do you weigh, by the way?
I'm 5'8", and I guess 150.
So at 5'8", 150, you're pretty close to your ideal weight. So I would not consider you overweight at 5'8". Obviously, if you were 5'4", and 150, you're considered overweight, but not. So you look pretty slender in clothing, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, is it that your belly protrudes, or can you actually grab fat? And are we talking about your belly fat, by the way?
Yes, we're talking about my belly fat. Okay, so, and yes, I can grab it right now while I'm driving.
Well, be careful. Be careful. All right. So now the options for fat removal would be liposuction. Some people call it liposuction. I call it liposuction. But that's one option. But usually when you're in your 60s, particularly after you've had pregnancies, that's not the best option. And the reason for that is your skin has lost its elasticity as it's gotten older. And so you probably have some stretch marks, and you probably have a little bit of hanging skin. Am I right?
I don't have any stretch marks. But,
well, you're lucky.
I guess it's hanging. I don't know. It's just
now,
there.
Yeah, I have performed liposuction on women in their 60s who have had children, but I warn them that the risk of getting what we call contour irregularities. Don't you like these words we use, contour irregularities? That's a less than perfect result, and that might mean dimpling, rippling, waviness, fat being left behind, the skin sagging, something like that. It's pretty high when you're in your 60s. Now, if you're 25 and have never had a child, it's a whole different story. That's who liposuction was really created for. And there are different areas of the body that respond differently to suction. So the belly is not a particularly good area after it's been overstretched. And if you've had pregnancies, whether you have those stretch marks or not, it's been overstretched. Now, what is a reasonable area? Even if you're in your 60s, if you have fat on your outer thighs or your hips, those are considered favorable areas for liposuction, even after pregnancy, even after you've gained weight and lost weight. Those are favorable areas because they are less likely to have those contour irregularities. The inner thighs, well, that's not a great area either. The inner thighs tend to, as you get older, dimple a little bit and have waves as the skin relaxes. And after we suction those areas, it can be made worse. So when we do liposuction, we certainly want to trade the fat for a better aesthetic result. Now, if you're 60-something years old, usually, if you're concerned with the fat of the belly, we would perform what's called a tummy tuck, or the formal name is an abdominoplasty. So that's a procedure that's much more involved than liposuction. The reason liposuction is so popular, it's the number two most popular cosmetic surgical procedure in the United States and around the world, by the way. The reason it's so popular is I can do those procedures through little tiny incisions, a quarter inch long. I did one this week on a woman's inner and outer thighs and the back of her thighs and reshaped her buttocks. I can use little tiny incisions, suction out the fat, and in a couple days, you know, you're good to go back to work or drive, not exercise, but certainly you feel okay. With a tummy tuck, it's a different story because that's an operation that makes an incision from hip to hip, you know, from the hip bone to the hip bone. I lift up the skin of the belly like the hood of a car. I heard you faint right there. Yeah, it's not a pretty thing to look at unless you're a plastic surgeon, then it is pretty. So we lift up the skin of the belly. We expose the muscles of the belly. There are two straight muscles. Those are the six-pack muscles. And when you're pregnant, before pregnancy, they're right next to each other. In fact, they join at the midline. But they drift to the sides as you gain weight and certainly during pregnancy. It's sort of like a man who is 20 years old and 150 pounds and wears suspenders. No one wears them anymore, but suspenders are right in the front of that man. And, you know, 20 years and 50 pounds later, those suspenders are way over on the side of a protruding belly. And the same thing happens to those muscles, those rectus muscles, in pregnancy. So they drift to the side to allow room for the developing baby. So what happens after pregnancy? They never, unless you're Jane Fonda, they never go back to the middle. I don't know about Jane Fonda, but she looks pretty good.
Is there anything that's not as invasive as a tummy tuck?
Well, liposuction if you're a candidate. And other than that, I am not a big fan, I'm sorry to say this, of Cool Sculpting or those procedures that freeze fat, because I don't think the result is dramatic enough to warrant the procedure. That's my opinion, and a lot of plastic surgeons and dermatologists will disagree with me, sorry, but I like my patients to have good enough results so that I'm happy when they come back to the office to see them, and I'm not sitting there saying, oh, well, it's a very subtle result. So I want you to have a good result, and I'm not convinced that some of these non-invasive procedures can provide that kind of result for the belly, maybe other areas, but not the belly. So right now, no, I think your options are, you know, you don't have much room to go with weight loss because you're pretty much, you know, within your ideal weight or close to it. The liposuction may or may not be a procedure for you. That would be determined by your plastic surgeon at the time of the consultation. And other than that, it's a tummy tuck. I wish I could tell you otherwise.
Okay.
All right.
I really appreciate the education. Thank you.
I'm happy to answer your call and answer your question. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. The phone number here is 800-321-0710. And Noah, do we still, did someone just drop off, Noah, I think, or do we still, we have Virginia. We have Virginia. You're still there. Thanks for holding on. I know you've been holding on for a long time. What's your wrinkle? What can I do for you?
Not that long. It's just fine. I have a question, which is nothing involving surgery. It's kind of a simple question, but it's about toners. Over the years, I had always avoided them because I thought they were akin to astringents. In other words, they would dry out your skin. I'm 73 years old. My skin's pretty good. But I don't want to make it dry, that's for sure. I'd say I have normal to dry skin. So I read recently somewhere that a toner was actually a pH equalizer and that it made whatever products you're using absorb better. Is this true? And should I buy one?
Inquiring minds would like to know.
Yes,
all right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Thank
all right.
You.
So thank you for this question. I've been talking about this for 15 years. About toners and unnecessary products in skincare. And toners are they're way high on my list as an unnecessary product. Boy, I've just made a lot of enemies in the skincare industry. I really have. I can hear people swearing at me now in those stores. But the no one can really agree on what a toner is or what it's supposed to do. You can read all sorts of different things. And there are lots of different ingredients in toners. And you're right. What you describe is probably the number one reason why people say use a toner to restore the pH of your skin after these other products that they've sold really screws up the pH of your skin. My
very interesting, doctor. Yeah,
my attitude is don't mess up the pH of your skin to begin with. So let's talk about the pH of your skin. Your skin is normally acidic. So, all right, I'm going to give everybody a little lesson in pH scale because it's been a long time since 10th grade chemistry, but here it is. So the pH scale goes from 0 to 14. Water is right in the middle at 7, okay? And 0 is very acidic, and 14 is very alkaline. So lemon juice is somewhere around 2 or so. That's pretty acidic, right? And Drano, my goodness, you don't want to go near that. That's like 13. So that's very alkaline, right? But soaps. What do soaps do? Now, soaps are alkaline by definition. They're alkaline. That means they're above 7. Some soaps that are good are close to 7, but many soaps are 8, 9, 10. I've seen them even as high as 11.5. Now, what that does, when you use an alkaline soap on your skin, you'll really screw it up. You really do. Because your skin wants to be 5.5. It wants to be acidic. It wants to be that pH because that's where bacteria have a hard time living, and that's where fungus has a lot hard time proliferating. So if you have a pH of your skin that's appropriate, then your skin is in general healthier. When you use a soap on your skin that's alkaline, of which 97% of the soaps that are sold are alkaline, there are very few acidic soaps. Mine's acidic, by the way. By the way, twice, three times. It's called Clean Time. How's that for a shameless plug for my soap? The reason I made my soap at 5.5 is exactly what we're talking about. It's the same pH as your skin, so that when you use a soap that's appropriate, you don't mess up the pH of your skin. You don't allow the bacteria and fungus to proliferate. Some soaps have been shown to mess up the pH for as long as 6 hours, and by then you're using the soap again. So you don't want to do that, because the response to the bacteria that begin to proliferate in your skin, the response is for your body to make oil, which is not necessarily a good thing because you get oily skin with large pores. The bacteria themselves cause irritation, and they cause a syndrome of a little bit of redness and a little bit of swelling of your skin. So many patients come into my office, and we talk about, in my practice, I talk about everything from skincare right up to surgery, because I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, as Dr. Grant was talking about earlier. And so I see the skin right from the beginning, from makeup to skincare, all the way up to surgery, because it's important. It doesn't make sense to have a facelift if your skin is irritated, if your skin has huge pores, is red and swollen. And so many women come into my office and say, that's not my product, that's my skin. I've had that since I was 14. Well, you've been messing up your skin since you were 14, because so many people use unnecessary products like toners and like soaps that mess up the pH of your skin. Or, you ready for this one? Like moisturizers. Oh, my God. I said it. Most women don't need moisturizers. It's true. Now, if you're around the time of menopause, that's different. How old are you again?
I'm 73.
And you sound so much younger.
Thank you.
And when I hope your skin
good.
Looks younger.
I get compliments on it all the time.
Yep.
But I want to keep it that way, you know? Listen, Olivia Havilland just died. I want to look like her when I go.
At 104, I think she was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so moisturizer before menopause, in my opinion, unnecessary, except in the seasonal changes, in the fall when the humidity changes, and it might be useful to have a moisturizer. But in the middle of the winter when your skin is chapped, but certainly right now in New York with this humidity, even someone perimenopausal or postmenopausal like yourself, I assume, probably doesn't need a moisturizer. And there's no benefit, by the way. Moisturizers do not help wrinkles. A lot of people say, I slather this stuff on my face, I'm going to keep the wrinkles away. No benefit and no science to that, by the way.
What about sunscreen, though? I use a 30 SPF sunscreen, over-the-counter brand. I don't want to name a brand because I know you guys don't like that. But,
that's right, especially since I sell my own.
we don't want to cause issues
that's
here.
Right.
But
no, sunscreen is important.
I put that on.
Sunscreen is important. It's probably other than soap, it's the single most important skincare product. It really is. The reason for that, and the sunscreens, if you've listened to me before, is this the first time you've ever heard me on the radio? No.
No, it's not the first time I've heard you, but certainly the first time I've ever called you.
Well, thanks for the call. But so certainly sunscreen is very important, and the reason it's important is it is proven to decrease the rate of aging of the skin, decrease wrinkles, decrease skin cancers. So it is very important. However, there are different types of sunscreens, and I am an ardent supporter of the use of mineral sunscreens. Mineral sunscreens means zinc oxide and titanium dioxide. Those are the ones that do not get absorbed into your body, unlike every other sunscreen that is FDA approved. There are 15 of those, and they all get absorbed in your body. They have to, by definition. They also are endocrine disruptors for the most part, either unsafe or not proven to be safe. And the FDA has come out now twice and said that. And there are publications to support exactly what I'm talking about. I went on the Oz show talking about this in a very controversial Oz show. I think it's very important to use zinc oxide and or titanium dioxide. Aesthetically, I think zinc oxide is better, but both work just fine because what they do is they reflect the light without getting absorbed in your body. And that's what you want from a sunscreen. And I'm going to say something that some dermatologists cringe when they hear me say this. I think you can go out in the sun without sunscreen for about 20 minutes.
I've heard that, and I think that makes sense. And I do like to take a short bike ride, and I do it without putting the sunscreen on because I've heard that.
So yeah, because you make vitamin D that way, and there are other benefits to the sun. You know, everybody knows that when you're in the sun, it's natural mood elevation. There are things that we don't understand, but we've grown and evolved over tens of thousands of years with the sun. So to shut it out completely, we're not bats, right? We need the sun. On the other hand, after 20 minutes, we know that the sun causes immunosuppression of our skin, and that's not good for us either. So yes, sunscreen every morning. And here's your take-home lesson. Look at your iWatch if you've got one of those, or your iPhone. That's
No, I don't have either of those.
Oh my goodness! Well, you know, they should.
I'm old school, doctor.
Shouldn't they not be a sponsor of the show after giving them that plug? But certainly, you can go. You have a computer,
of course,
or a television. Okay, find out what the a radio. Anyway, the UV index is important. The UV index is a measure of ultraviolet light. And they did a study about 2 years ago or so in Australia, and they pretty much proved that you do not need sunscreen if the UV index is under 3. So once again, the dermatologist will tell you every single day, don't go out with your sunscreen. That's just not true. It just is not true. But if the UV index is over 3, that's the number to hang your hat on or to put your hat on. UV index over 3, that's when you want to use sunscreen. So right now, this time of year, every single day, it's over 3. So you'll want sunscreen. And even if it's a cloudy day, because the UV light can get through the clouds. And you'll notice next time it's fairly cloudy, look up the UV index, and you'll see it's still substantial this time of year. Here we are in August. So sunscreen in the morning, yes, a good quality soap that keeps your pH at 5.5. That's called Clean Time, Dr. Perry's Clean Time. That's a hint there. And there are a few others, but not many,
if you
really look at them. All right?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Just a little FYI. Years ago, I went to Australia, the northern part of Australia, which is the place that's its hottest. And I noticed in Cairns, which is one of their big cities, all the women were wearing white cotton gloves in the sun.
And there you go. So they don't have the splotchy pigmentation of their hands.
Exactly.
And the way I get rid of that, this is a wonderful segue for the last minute of the show for me to talk about how I'm doing what's called a CO2 fractional laser now on the hands and the forearms. It's such a quick procedure. We do it 3 times so we don't create a wound, and we can get rid of that splotchiness of the hands. You know, I remember Joan Rivers. I love Joan Rivers. I had her on the show.
I loved her, too. She was wonderful.
And she had that jewelry line, and you looked at her hands. Her hands looked like Pillsbury Doughboy hands because she had so much filler in there. But what a wonderful person. And she had really nice skin because she had lots of procedures. She talked about it on my show. But now we're doing these fractional CO2 procedures, fractional lasers, and it's really effective at getting rid. So you don't have to wear those white gloves that they wear in Australia. But listen, Virginia, thanks so much for the phone call. We're running out of time. Noah begins to wave his hands and say, we're out of the studio in just a minute. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This has been a great show. Thank you all for the calls. Thank you, Dr. Robert Grant. Next week, I'm going to have Dr. Ira Jacobson, the chief of hepatology at NYU, former chief of GI at Cornell. And he did my colonoscopy on me this past week. Oh, my goodness. So much information about my health. Well, I don't have secrets like that. I'm pretty open. So I had a colonoscopy. It was a lot of fun. A pain in the... No, it wasn't a pain. Thank you, Dr. Jacobson. We're going to have him on next week. Noah, thanks so much for great engineering. Don't forget to give my office a call, 732-422-9600, and Perry Plastic Surgery's website. And don't forget, we're having a sale on daytime. Oh, my goodness, I didn't mention it. $3 for $50. Go to the website for more information. Wow. Bye-bye now. Have a great week.